John 10, starting in verse 19. There was again a division among the Jews because of these words. Many of them said, "He has a demon and is insane. Why listen to him?" Others said, "These are not the words of one who is oppressed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" At that time, the feast of dedication took place at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple and in the colonnade of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me. But you do not believe because you are not among my sheep. My sheep hear my voice,
and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one." The Jews picked up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, "I have shown you many good works from the Father. For which of them are you going to stone me?" The Jews answered him, "It is not for a good work that we are going to stone you, but for blasphemy, because you, being a man, make yourself God." Jesus answered them, Is it not written in your law, 'I said you are gods'? If he calls them gods to whom the word of God came, and scriptures cannot be broken, do you say to him whom the Father consecrated and sent into the world, 'You are blaspheming because I said I am the Son of God'? If I am not doing the works of my Father, then do not believe me. But if I do them, even though you do not believe me, believe the works, that you may know and understand that the Father is in me and I am in the Father." Again, they sought to arrest him, but he escaped from their hands. He went away again across the Jordan to the place where John had been baptizing at first, and there he remained. And many came to him, and they said, "John did no sign, but everything that John said about this man was true." And many believed in him there. You may be seated. You know, as we come and look at this chapter 10, we see Jesus is just building on truth after truth, giving more clarification as he witnesses publicly to these people. You know, he's in Jerusalem, big crowds. He's trying to educate these Jews, particularly Jewish leaders, who are determined to kill him. But he still shares these truths. It's not only for their benefit, but it's for our benefit. But at this point, this is pretty much where he will leave Jerusalem after this. His public ministry will switch to a more private ministry to his disciples, away from Jerusalem. He will be equipping the future leaders on how they are to carry on his church. But you know, we see again as it starts here, his statement of being a good shepherd has caused a stir, a division among the Jews. We see that in verse 19. There was again a division among the Jews because of these words. Many of them said, "He has a demon and is insane. Why listen to him?" Others said, "These are not the words of one who is oppressed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" What we have here are the two camps of people. One of the camps have heard the words of Jesus. They have seen the miracles, the countless miracles, so many that they could not be recorded, as John later writes. Yet that group, they refuse to believe. And they go to their default position. You have a demon, you're doing these miracles by the power of Satan, or you're insane. You know, it's nothing new. That's what they continually accused him of. And then they would try again to seize and to kill him. They would not hear the words. The other camp, they have seen or heard about the same miracles. They hear the same messages, but their hearts have been softened. They've been softened by the works he's done. They realize that these are the works that were prophesied that the Messiah would do. So they listen to his words. It doesn't mean they were saved at this time, but they're heading in the right directions. And many, I believe, would come to faith after the prophecy that Jesus had told is fulfilled, that he lays down his life and picks it back up again after the resurrection. More evidence, more truth. I believe some of these would come to faith. You know, and that is Jesus' intention throughout this whole gospel. It tells us in John 20, verse 30, "Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." All this recorded in John is for his people, for his people's benefits, which includes us, the sheep who will hear his voice at some time in their life. At some time in their life, all those who are called will hear his voice. But there are others, even today, all around us, who will deny not only his voice, but his works. They will deny what they see around them. We see this earth, we see the heavens that declare the glory of God. How complex this is. Just the fact that we are here begs the question, where did I come from? Why am I here? Where am I going? Just because all of this is here, it demonstrates God's glory, his works. His works. We see his works in history. We see it in archaeology. It bears truth to him. We see his works and how nations have been changed by his word. Our own nation came to be with a Christian foundation. The evidence is completely around men that points to a God. Yet they refuse. They will not give God his due. They will not hear his voice. Or they hear it and refuse to listen. But you know, our Lord, he will continue to give truth to the Jews who reject him now, just as we as believers will continue to give truth in this world. His church will continue to bear witness about him in spite of those who refuse to listen. You know, in verse 22, at that time, the feast of dedication took place at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the colonnade of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." You know, here John has given us kind of a time frame. of the events, because now we have another feast mentioned, the Feast of Dedication. This was not a biblical feast, not a biblically mandated feast, but it was an eight-day celebration established by the Jews in remembrance of the retaking of the temple from Antiochus Epiphanes, the Syrian. In 167 BC, he overtook the Jews and desecrated the temple. On December 25th, 164 BC, the Jews took it back. And they have an eight-day celebration every year in remembrance of that. It's more familiar to us, known as Hanukkah. But John gives us that information to give us a timeline of the events. Because what Jesus is saying, it was about 2 months after the events in chapter 7. But what's important, it also reveals to us the strategy Jesus had. He gives much of his teaching, his public ministry, when there are the most people available in Jerusalem. Remember how we said for these feasts, the population of Jerusalem would just swell. So Jesus is reaching as many people as he can, doing as many miracles as he can, exposing himself to as many people. You know, it said some of the Jews came around him. Some of the commenters say they surrounded him more in a threatening way, which could be because, remember, when he refers to the Jews here, he's referring to his enemies. They gathered around him and said, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." You know, had Jesus at this time publicly stated that he is the Christ? You know, he told the woman at the well. He told the blind man. Surely this would have been passed to the Jews. They would have caught wind of it. But Jesus said he had been communicating it to them. Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me." Jesus had been continually telling them through his works. Through his works. The works that only the Messiah could do. And some of them did believe. Remember in John 7:31, "Yet many of the people believed in him. They said, 'When the Christ appears, will he do more signs than this man has done?'" What they're saying, we can't imagine anybody doing any more signs than what this guy has done. He is the Messiah. Remember, his miracles were continual. Thousands of them. But yet, the ones who do not believe felt he was doing it by the power of a demon. But these, they recognized the works of Jesus because it fit what the Old Testament had said, the prophecies concerning the Messiah. But see, his miracles were also building truth upon truth because they were a testimony of himself. And the words reinforced it. So the people were really without excuse. But now Jesus is going to teach and reveal another truth. A harder truth. In verse 26, "But you do not believe because you are not among my sheep." You know, and this is tied to the first chapter. He calls the sheep and they listen. They will not, or the first part of this chapter, they will not follow false shepherds. But now Jesus is teaching who his sheep are not. Jesus is teaching here about election. And it started in the first chapter. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. This is all about election. We hear his voice because he calls us and has given us the ears to hear it, the understanding and the heart. It is a great gift from God. And this book of John here is given to us so that we may know and have that assurance that we know that we will never be lost and that we belong to God. In verse 27, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they will never perish and no one will snatch them out of my hand. We are saved for eternity. All the difficulties, all the prayers we had this morning, many. We see devastation in the world. We see death in our lives, illness, sickness. But we still are here because of, like Romans 8, nothing will separate us from that knowledge that God loves us. There is no power that is great enough to separate us from the love of God. Nothing in this universe will overtake God's people. In verse 29, my Father who has given them to me is greater than all. And no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. You know, we see and hear the perfect unity between the Father and the Son working for the preservation of us, his sheep, his people. You know, that's why the last time I preached, I said we walk out with a safety net underneath us. So we should walk with confidence. But that net is held up by Jesus on one hand and God the Father on the other. And the Holy Spirit guides us. We will fall, but we will not be broken. We will fall, we will not be destroyed. We will get up and continue on in this life as a Christian, building God's church. But that should give us the confidence to go into the unknown, to step in places out of our comfort zone, into different pastures, because we have the good shepherd leading us. And he will only take us where he will protect us and be with us. His grace is sufficient. He doesn't say we will not have perils. There will be wolves in these pastures. There will be lions. But he will be with us. He will never be separated from us. And that must give us the confidence to step out of our comfort zones for the glory of God in wherever he calls you as his people, as his saints, as his workmen. Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Again, we as his sheep must walk into these uncharted areas with confidence because he is with us. We are not walking alone. God the Father has one hand and Jesus the other. And the Holy Spirit is working within our hearts to give us the wisdom and the knowledge as to where to go and the confidence to do it. You know, that goes right back to Romans 8. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? You know, the Jews who could not hear his voice or could not tolerate his statement that Jesus and the Father are one, working together for his sheep. What would they do? They returned to their father. They sought their father's advice, who is a murderer and a thief and a liar. The Jews picked up stones again to stone him. You know, Jesus finds himself in a very dangerous situation. The rage of these unbelievers exposes whose son they really are. And they are eager to follow Satan's teachings. But Jesus is not done with his lesson yet. And he asks them a question. Jesus answered them, "I have shown you many good works from the Father. For which of them are you going to stone me?" Notice Jesus directs back to his works, his life. Judge my actions. Are they godly? If they are, why are you trying to stone me? If they fulfill what the Messiah is called to do, why are you going to kill me? But see, the Jews, they could not look at the good works, because the good works were just like the shepherd calling them or waving to them, "Follow me." The Jews answered him, "It is not for the good work that we are going to stone you, but for blasphemy, because you, being a man, make yourself God." What they were saying is, we see the evidence. We see the good works. We can't contest them. We've seen them. There's too many of them. But you are from Satan. That's how you do the works. That's where you get your power. We do not hear your voice. You are not from God. You are not God's son. Your words are lies to us. The very Son of God walking among them, and yet they would not recognize him. They refused to even consider it. Is it any different today? The evidence surrounds us. Nature surrounds us. The heavens declare the glory of God day by day. All this wonder, yet people reject it. They reject the history of the founding of this nation. They reject the history of how Geneva was changed, how the Dutch Netherlands were changed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. They reject history. It is because they are a sheep of another flock. They will not and cannot hear his voice. Yet Jesus continues to share truth with them. Jesus answered them, "Is it not written in your law, 'I said you are gods'? If he called them gods to whom the word of God came and scriptures cannot be broken, do you say of him who the Father consecrated and sent into the world, 'You are blaspheming because I said I am the Son of God'?" Jesus is going back to Psalm 82, verse 6. It says, "I said, 'You are gods, Son of the Most High, all of you. Nevertheless, like men you shall die and fall like any prince.'" These were the leaders of Israel. They were called gods with a small g, because they were to execute God's laws. They were to represent God properly to the people. They were to be the mouthpiece of God to the people, and they were also called the sons of the Most High, with a small s. They were adopted sons just like you and I are. They were the leaders of the church family, and they were to act that way. That is why they were called gods, because they were representing God, the very mouthpiece. But Jesus says, now I am the true Son. My works show it. I am the one Son, the Messiah. I do these works. You hear my words. You can compare it to the Old Testament, and it aligns perfectly. Yet you call me a blasphemer. Jesus is making no point that they have no point to call him a blasphemer. But isn't that how the wicked are? They'll accuse godly people of what they do to try to bring them down. Here they are, the blasphemers, yet they're calling Jesus a blasphemer. Jesus goes back to his works. If I am not doing the works of my Father, then do not believe me. But if I do them, even though you do not believe me, believe the works, that you may know and understand that the Father is in me and I am in the Father. Again, they sought to arrest him, but he escaped from their hands. Jesus again stated, look at the works, look at the evidence. You know, and that should be a lesson for us as well as believers, as Christians. We should have the basic knowledge of God's creation. We should understand how it represents his greatness, his might. We should have a knowledge of how the church has changed the history of this world. Changed nations, changed individuals. And we should cast that wide net to people to bring them the awareness of God around them. Should be part of our testimony. It's evidence that cannot be rebuked. Because God said it is a testimony of himself. It is his voice crying out. Just as his voice was crying out for these Jewish leaders, we must continually have our voice crying out to the lost. It's our duty, the works prepared for us in advance to do. However, Jesus would leave now. He would go to another flock, a flock far away from Jerusalem. He went away again across the Jordan to a place where John had been baptizing at first. And there he remained, and many came to him, and they said, John did no sign, but everything that John said about this man was true, and many believed in him there. Go back to verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. You know, there are sheep out there today that have not heard God's call but are waiting to hear it. God has transformed their heart to understand and to hear his call, but they have not heard it because we have not fulfilled our job yet. It is in God's timing. But we must be faithful to the tasks that God has prepared beforehand for us to do. Those tasks are for the advancement of his church. We must fulfill it. But you know what? The people will look more closely at our works to begin with. They'll watch us. They'll watch our lives to see how we conduct ourselves. Are we conducting ourselves as God would want us to live? Are we walking as close to God as we can in our own lives? People are watching. They may still reject us, but if they criticize and lie about us, that's exactly what it is. It's lies. They lied about Jesus. They'll lie about us no matter how well we present ourselves. But God calls us to present ourselves perfectly, which we never will. But through His Holy Spirit, we can do far better than what we do. And sadly, for those who refuse, the sin and the guilt will be on them. Because they are not of God's sheep. But our heart must go out for those who are waiting to hear that call, are ready to listen, because it is us, God's people, who are the voice piece of God now, proclaiming His message to come to Him. Who else will tell Him? Will the heathen? It's us, folks. This point of time, it is us. Are you reflecting God's truths? He may use you to transform the heart of a sheep that is waiting to hear God's call. Could there be any greater joy? Do you see what a privileged people we are? That God uses us as His shepherds to call His lost sheep? What greater privilege is there in this world? Consider it. Let us pray. Our Lord and our God, teach us to represent You properly to this world. In Jesus' name, amen.